This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast. Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined not this time by Davey Eyeballs, but by the producer of Red Sox Baseball, the producer of the Rich Keefe Show. It's Stiz. Stiz, how are you, my guy?
What up, Keefe? Thank you for having me, buddy.
That was good. Honor. If you're watching on YouTube, you get a nice little treat there. That was a nice little Michael Myers mask there, breaking out.
I have three Michael Myers masks. My goal is to have every film at some point.
There's a couple shit masks, though, in there.
Oh, yeah. So that's like 38 masks, I think.
Exactly. In addition to being producer of Red Sox Baseball, Stiz also is a credited actor. And I think this is fantastic because I just saw one of your movies recently, and I urge everybody to check out Black Friday. It's on Prime. And real quick before you, I do want to talk about it for a second. It's a 90-minute horror romp. It stars Devin Sawa, Michael Jai White, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And Stiz. It's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was really cool. I love it. I think it's a fun ride. Yeah. Like a horror comedy type deal. You know, like you said, Bruce Campbell, Devin Sawa, who I think is excellent.
Yeah.
I think his career has kind of had like a little resurgence as of recent. And if you like horror and you like comedy, I think it's a definitely must watch, especially like if you watch it that time of the year, like around Thanksgiving, Black Friday.
You know, because like that movie Thanksgiving, I think, try to do a lot of that stuff. Like Thanksgiving, a lot of that movie takes place sort of with the shopping element of it with Black Friday. And you guys did that movie like 3 years ago, right?
They kind of swaggerjacking a little bit,
kind of stole your shit. But you were telling me before, like all those big time actors were all like super cool.
Oh my god, super cool. Devin was super cool. Michael Jai White was super super cool. Like Devin, it was kind of weird because you don't want to be like a bug, right? You don't want to be like, hey, what's up? Like, nice. You want to try to act like, oh, I've been here before, which I am bad at. I'm like, let me get a picture. But Michael was the type of dude that came right up to you and was like, hey, man, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you. I'm like, I know who you are. Kind of the same thing with Bruce. Like when Bruce was wrapped with his part of filming, like he took a few minutes and like gave a speech almost, and it's on my Instagram. You could check it out at Stiz Grammy. But it was just really nice of him, you know what I mean?
That's
like,
so cool.
There are some celebrities who like they know that people think they're friggin' awesome, and they take the few moments to like, you know, be cool about that, and that's always cool.
No, it's great. Yeah, because you'll hear like some of the awful stories, but you're like, that's cool. Yeah. And you were also in a very different environment too. You know, like you were in a movie with these guys. Like that's super cool. And so
yeah. Well, it was definitely an experience. You want to talk about a great gig? Like, you know, and granted, like you saw the movie, my role was, you know, on the smaller side. It was still a principal role. I got paid as a principal role, but it wasn't like I wasn't a main character. But man, like it's just I could do that for a career.
But like you had lines and like your names in the credits. So like I count that as like that. Yeah. That's not just like a background character, which even to me would be cool. Like if you just sat in the background of a movie, like I think that'd be pretty badass to be on set. But no, you legit had lines. Like so.
Yeah, I wanted my picture to be up on IMDb. Turns out you have to pay for a IMDb membership for your picture to be on.
Really?
You know, so like you can go to my page, but my picture isn't there unless I pay like $150 a year or whatever it is.
Oh, that's for that stupid membership.
Yeah,
that's so stupid. Yeah. Well, we're always talking movies and TV, and the show that we're talking about today, the topic du jour, is a show that we both started talking about early on and Loved it from the Jump Street. And 10 episodes in, Shogun is the show we're talking about. FX, Hulu. And like I said, 10 episodes, each one roughly an hour. So, Stiz, we'll start spoiler-free before we get into full spoilers for some of those who have not seen Shogun. But let me ask you right off the top, as I always ask, Davey, did you like it?
I loved it. Not fought it, but as you know, there is so much content out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to it all. I remember it was maybe like a 2 or 3 week period on the Rich Keefe show where you were like, Shogun, Shogun, Shogun. Mm. And I was behind a little bit. And then it was like one Sunday afternoon, I slammed through one episode and I think I put down like, I caught up in that day, whether it was 3 or 4, I forget. But yeah, I loved it right off the rip.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I liked, we were watching Blue Eye Samurai last fall, winter, whenever that came out. And then I remember watching some other show, maybe it was Dave or I don't know, it was some FX show clearly. And they started showing promos for this. And I was like, what is this? I'm like, this looks like live action Blue Eye Samurai.
Yeah.
And then we got closer to it. And they did the thing that a lot of shows do where they release 2 episodes on the first night.
I like that.
Yeah. So like we were on the air. So I got home. I think I watched one. Maybe I've been watching both. And was just like, holy smokes. Like I'm locked in on this show. And then as you do like a little bit of reading on it, it's historical fiction. So like, I'm sure a lot of it is kind of like, you know, made up, but at the same time, like you can go back and look, all these main characters that we're going to talk about are based off of real people. And like the timing,
how cool is that?
It's nuts.
Yeah. Like, so that, you know, like you were saying, you started seeing teasers for it. So like right away, that time period is interesting me, right? I'm like, oh, all right. I love, the older I've gotten, the more appreciative I am of history. I'm fresh off of playing. Now, I'm not really into the anime, so I didn't see Blue Eye Samurai. However, I did play and like kind of was in the middle of playing Ghost of Tsushima for PS5, which takes place kind of in that same kind of period when the Mongols invaded Japan. And so I was just like super intrigued by that time period, by that culture. So it just hit for me at like the perfect moment. And I was just like, man, I'm all in.
Yeah, that was super cool. And some of the early comparisons were Game of Thrones. And it's funny because I saw an interview that was done by one of the showrunners for the show. And he's like, he heard a lot of people saying, it's kind of like Game of Thrones, but, you know, with, but like, you know, in 1600 Japan. And then the guy's like, yeah, he's like, I think it's kind of a little bit more like Succession or a little bit more House of Cards. And as the series plays out, I guess that makes sense because Game of Thrones has some like Lord of the Rings type action sequences, you know, and like
these exactly. So I think, battles. Yeah, and I think you just hit the head. You hit the nail on the head where Game of Thrones is a little more focused on the action at times. A lot of the times where I feel like Shogun, Succession, House of Cards, it's a little more character driven.
Yeah, the characters in this are off the charts. And I think similar to Thrones, they throw a lot of characters at you at first, and there's a lot of different names. There's a lot of different, like, families, and you're like, you kind of do need a little bit of, like, a family tree, I think, to help.
Yeah,
because you'd be like, all right, so you're trying to learn the names, and then you're like, oh, those two are, like, brothers, or, like, those two are against each other, these two or whatever. And, like, they throw a lot at you, but the actors are fantastic. And it's like all people that, with the exception of Toranaga, I've never seen, I don't think, any of the other actors, and they were great.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have either. And yeah, the acting was phenomenal. And you mentioned earlier the historical accuracies. I was watching an interview earlier with one of the historical advisors that they had for the show, and he was saying that usually when he's hired to do like an advisory role like that on the historical accuracy of things, he was like, yo, you're lucky if they take 20 to 30% of the notes that I'm giving them. And he said that the Shogun producers, which I don't know if you know, Toranaga, the actor who plays Toranaga.
Yeah.
He was a producer of this show.
Yep.
He said that they took like 80 to 90% of the notes that he was giving them. So I think they tried as best as they could, you know, to keep it historically accurate. Yeah.
Well, I guess, I read too that like the reviews in Japan were really good. And they were like, that means a ton to us. Like, you know, Japanese people to really like it. And that was another kind of different thing about the show is there was obviously a ton of subtitles. So basically the Japanese characters speak Japanese. And so there's a ton of subtitles. Now there's also Portuguese characters on the show, but rather than just like bombarding you with it, the Portuguese characters speak English, which I think is fine. And I think like once you start watching the show, I fall into it easily. I don't have a problem with subtitles. I know some people don't like it, but I think you get kind of used to it with the show.
Yeah, I think you absolutely get used to it. And think about that now. That is a big decision that these producers had to make, not only for the viewing audience, which probably is more important, but just the cast and everybody making this film, right? Like, they could have easily just made it all English, and now all the scripts are in English, everyone that's producing and making the show, everything's in English. It's a lot easier. Your audience is for sure going to digest it a lot easier. But I think the decision to keep it Japanese, I think was huge, and it made it way more authentic to me, and it really put me in this story, you know?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Cause it looks great. Like that's one of one of like the Game of Thrones comparisons I can see is like, it just looks so cool. And the acting, like we said, is top notch. It's only, you know, the end of April, but it's definitely one of the best shows of the year. You know, the only other one that I like maybe more is Fallout. Me and Davey did an episode on Fallout a week or two ago. Loved Fallout, but this one's...
Yeah, Fallout was awesome.
This one's right there, and if people like it more than Fallout, like, I get it.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a little more than Fallout. I don't know how much more, but I definitely would give the edge to Shogun over Fallout so far. And yeah, it's crazy because it's early. It's only April. Mm-hmm. We're barely halfway through the year, not even. But yeah, I can't see this not getting a bunch of Emmy noms and just a bunch of awards, because this thing was phenomenal.
All right, so what is your hashtag dork score? We rate everything 1 through 6, and you can give half stones as well.
Okay, I'm going to give this. I'm torn between 5 and 5.5 stones. Yep. I'm going to go 5.5 stones.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. I'm going to go 5. Yeah. For me, though, it's like a rock hard 5. I'll get into we get into spoilers, I'll sort of say why it didn't get a little bit higher. I was sort of torn between the two as well. It was like 5, 5.5. I think it's like a really, really strong 5. Let us know at Dork Podcast, Twitter and Instagram. What you guys thought of Shogun, what your score is. If you're in the YouTube chat live, hit us up with what your score was. Anything else before we get into spoilers that you want to mention about the show?
I'm so jealous of your man cave. It looks so good. So my man cave's like in the process of being renovated. I used to have like a really cool backdrop, but hopefully I'm jealous. You got some cool stuff back there, though.
I got all kinds of nonsense. Like comic books, I got posters, I got a screen mask.
Oh, dude, I got to get a screen mask. For some reason, sometimes it's hard finding those things around Halloween time. What's the X-Men thing? Is that like an original? What is that comic book to your?
This is just a poster, because if this was this is X-Men number one, this would be.
You'd be a million. You'd be
I'd be like rolling it. In if I hung it up, I'd be a psycho.
Nutcase.
But that's good. You got the Nightmare on Elm Street poster, though, right? Is that back there?
Yeah, that's in my hallway. I have a Nightmare on Elm Street poster, and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I think I want to switch them out. I'm probably going to keep Nightmare. And then you can't really see. The Freddy Popsicle house that I built.
Oh shit! Okay.
That took up a whole summer for me one time.
All right, very good. So 5.5 for Stiz. I'm going 5. Let's get into the old spoilers.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, so basically you get 3 main characters, I would say, in this show. You got John Blackthorne, the Englishman, you get Lord Torunaga, and you get Mariko-sama. Mariko-sama. These 3, there's a bunch of other really, really good characters, a lot of good characters.
Strong supporting characters.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's these 3 that sort of like really lead the way. And so John Blackthorne's the guy that So he's the English sailor, lands in Japan, and then you're kind of like learning a lot of this stuff on the fly and kind of through him. And then out of all the characters, out of all the different arcs that they all took, thinking back to where when we first saw him in episode one till the final episode, that guy,
scruffy beard,
craziest like, journey, but also like
clothes.
Yeah, and then there's that scene too where like he becomes more ingrained in the Japanese culture. And
which I love that arc of the story,
that whole scene too where he's been separated from his men for so long, then mm-hmm. he sees one of them and he's like, no, like I'm going back to my thing here. And he's
which is so funny, right? You think like when they first arrive in Japan, the Japanese call them savages, and at that scene it's kind of like John sees them
yeah.
as savages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're loud, they're drunk, they're dirty, they're smelly. You yeah. know what I mean? Yeah. Which I thought was so cool. Another thing that I wrote down too was that opening scene
yeah.
when the ship comes into view and it's like dark and cloudy and the sails of the ship are all raggedy and torn. I was just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Like,
it was
so great.
Yeah, no, yeah. it was. All the stuff on the ship early on was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
He also did, he like straight up learned the language, like by the end of it. Cause like the big thing is like Mariko is his interpreter. And so she's always yeah. with him. And by the end of it, he like barely even needs one. Like, that's crazy.
I thought that's so funny. I had this thought multiple times watching the show. I was like, I wonder if I would pick up as much Japanese as he's picked no. up. You know, are they stretching that a little? Cause yeah, he got pretty fluent in Japanese there by the end.
I don't think I would. At all.
Yeah.
Especially
it's such
a language,
hard language.
It's so tough and it's so different yeah. than English.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Like, if you were yeah. dropped in Spain, I feel like over
yeah.
time, you'd probably pick up some Spanish. But, like, to learn, like, Japanese, like, no, not a chance in hell.
Yeah. That's a difficult language.
I also,
sure.
I love the scene where he takes, like, that bird and he's going to, like, cook it for everybody. And he yeah. like is hanging it upside down, and they're like, "What is this guy doing?" And he's like stinking up the whole place.
Someone ends up dying over that poor bird.
Right, guy dies over there.
Yeah.
But that's just like him learning, like what's going on over there. But Torunaga clearly saw something in him because Torunaga is the guy that is he's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Guy, like he was
yeah.
always kind of 10 steps ahead, and I think he saw what he could do with Blackthorn.
So, yeah, funny, right? Like, I don't know exactly how much Torunaga, like, can we swear on this thing?
Oh, yeah, let it rip.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know how much Torunaga really fucked with Blackthorn, or if it yeah. was just more of, like, because remember at the end, like, he tells Yabushigi, I think is his name. Is that how you say it?
I think so. That guy's hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, okay, we'll get into him. But yeah. so, he tells Yabushigi, he's like, he just made me laugh. He's like, the dude just made me laugh. So I don't know how much he really, because John saves his life, like, at least two or three times.
Yep.
Legit saves his life. But I don't know how much Torunaga, like, really fucked with him, like, as a true friend, or really just saw, like, what he could do for him, and you make me laugh, just because, like, you're like, kind of beneath me, almost. You
know
what I mean?
I think that's what it is. Like, I don't think he's buddies with him, but I also think he knew, like, being in that council, that, like, this wasn't the way to do things, and we needed to sort of, like, that wasn't going to go great. And, like, that's the other thing, and that's kind of hard at first as a viewer to sort of, like, figure out who everybody is and what everybody's, like, sort of interest is when they're all in that
Yeah.
group, and you're trying to figure out, like, well, who's the next in line, and it's the kid, and then you're trying to get that whole connection. No, but, like, he had Blackthorn, like, training them in, like, cannons and stuff, and, like,
mm-hmm.
just different types of weapons, and I think he knew, like, how important he could be for them. Plus, he's a sailor, right? And now he's going to be, at the end of it, he's going to be getting, like, a whole fleet for him.
Taught Torunaga how to dive.
Yeah, that was
a funny scene.
Those are good old school bathing suits too.
Yeah,
it's like lamb cloth strapped around his Johnson. Yeah. But yeah, he's going in there no problem. But Torunaga definitely was always kind of playing it. You know, like, he wouldn't tell people what he was really thinking, is what it kind of felt like.
I love that character. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, he was playing chess while everyone was playing checkers
for sure. And it was like to the point where as the series is going along, you're like, this guy obviously has a plan. He's not just going to, like, lay down. But like, yeah, he kept getting a little bit further, a little bit further. Like, his best buddy is like, well, if you're going to do this, like, I'll kill myself. And he's like,
that was a wild scene. I mean, up until that scene, I don't even know if I was I'm like, is he surrendering? Like, yeah, like, I don't know, you know? But it was funny because right before, I think that dude was like Nagukata or something, that dude's name.
I know, it's tough.
His boy.
Yep.
But right before he commits seppuku, he tells them, he walks out in the hallway and says, oh, nah, he's not surrendering. He says that to the group,
yeah,
which is funny. I think he was trying to tell them, like, listen, some crazy shit is about to happen, but just best believe Torunaga knows what he's doing and he's not going to surrender. But I think none of them could really see the final picture, the real picture, you know?
Yeah, because that made it. That was the part that guy had to play, and it was just, yeah, fucked up. And how they do that, like, how many of those deaths there were. So you got to, like, carve open your stomach.
Oh, my Lord.
And then you choose somebody to lop your head off as, like, your, yeah, second. And I'm like,
that was a visceral, visceral scene.
Oh, my
visceral
God.
Visceral scene. Yeah, yeah.
So he dies, and then, well, before that, didn't Torunaga's son died in sort of that freak accident? Because Torunaga's son was kind of a loose cannon, and then he's running around, yes, slips, smashes his head.
Yes, which, yeah, because what happens if that didn't happen, like, all hell could have broken loose.
Yeah.
If he had killed, yeah, Torunaga's brother, his uncle,
yep,
like, that could have really, yeah, threw a wrench in the operation. So, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. But it's like you said, the dude was reckless, and Torunaga,
yeah,
told him that many times, like, using the eagle as, like, a thing, as, yeah, like, a comparison or analogy. Like, you know, you're moving reckless, man. Like, you got to be patient. You got to stand back. You got to watch. You got to,
yeah,
listen.
He wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiled little brat.
He really was. But yeah, so then even like when you get towards the end, and it was funny listening to all of them talking about what was going on with Torunaga, and like them being like, well, he's not really going to surrender. And people are like, well, I don't know, man. Like, you see what's happening there? Like, this guy's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's dead. And it was funny because like they even have that scene where it's like a couple of the Portuguese guys, and one of,
yeah,
them was like,
the
no,
Christians.
They're like, no way is he,
yeah,
laying,
yeah, yeah,
down. Like, I know that he's not.
Yeah.
But it was,
yeah,
all part of his, yeah, game. It was all part of his thing. And then Mariko, she plays like the biggest role of it all. Like,
yeah,
she goes back, and this was one scene I was hoping for a little bit more, but I guess this is all part of the plan, right? So she goes, and then she's like, I got to go back and like relay the message back to Torunaga. And they're like, well, no, you got to stay here. And she's like, well, I'm actually going to go. So she, yeah, comes out, and she has got like that fucking like long, like knife, like long sword,
yeah,
whatever that thing's called.
I forget what that's called. Yeah.
Part of me wanted her to just like obliterate everybody, but I guess that's not what happened and probably wouldn't,
yeah,
be what happened. That would have, yeah, been a, yeah, cool scene in like a movie if she just destroyed, yeah, everyone. Yeah. But like she held her own,
though. She, yeah, yeah.
She's clearly good. But then that just more planted the seeds in everybody there. And then they inside that camp were like, I don't know, like, should we keep her here? Should we not keep her here?
Well, yeah. Because that was the thing, right? Mm-hmm. That was what Torunaga needed her to do. She went there, and then exactly, she asked to leave. So now two things are gonna happen. Either he's gonna let her leave, and now all the other the four other families that are being held captive, mm-hmm, at Osaka Castle are gonna be like, well, what the fuck? We wanna go too.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's not gonna let her leave. And all these other four families are going to be like, what the fuck? We're being held captive here. We can't leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was brilliant. Yeah,
so
it was brilliant.
So smart. And then she fucking dies. So at the end of episode nine was the Crimson Sky. Cause that was the whole thing where they're like, are we going to do Crimson Sky? Are we not going to do Crimson Sky? And then she gets blown up, and it's like, holy,
yeah,
shit. You're like, with, yeah, one episode to go, I thought she was the best character. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I wrote that down. The biggest gangster of the whole thing.
Her.
I think it might be Mariko.
Yeah.
I think it really might be Mariko-sama. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
She was a G.
Well, because like her, you get like the backstory about like her dad, right? And then,
yeah,
so she's kind of on the outs because of all what's going on with her family. And then she marries that dude who's a samurai. That,
yeah,
guy's a tough. That guy's
Buntaro.
A tough dude. Yeah,
yeah,
I think, yeah,
yeah,
Buntaro.
Yeah, he was a crazy dude too in the beginning where he took I thought he died, right? We all thought he died.
Okay, like swallowed up by like 20 guys. You're like, he's,
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Comes
and then,
back.
And it's so funny because then her and John start, like, yep. you know what I mean?
Big
and
time.
Then all of a sudden in walks Montaro, like, hey, what the fuck's going on?
How about that scene when they're just like slamming the sakis, Montaro and John going back and forth, back and forth?
Exactly. Like, this is how much of a G that woman was when he takes the arrow and he they're 10 sakis deep.
Yeah.
And the thing whizzes by her face, bro. And she doesn't flinch.
She
doesn't flinch.
Give a shit.
I love that. I love that about that culture is how fucking disciplined and just how about their business they are. Like it was so cool.
That scene was so crazy. Cool. And like, that was one of many scenes where it got like pretty like tense, right? Cause you're like, what's going to happen here? Like these two guys are just going drink for drink for drink. And you're like, they clearly both know, like they have, there's like, it's sort of like a little bit of a love triangle, I guess at that point.
Yeah.
And then he does something to her and like John doesn't like how that went. And then, but then because Toranaga gave John that role of Hamamoto, he's like sort of like elevated and everybody's like, why are you doing this for this guy? He's like giving him swords. Yeah. And they're like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing with swords.
So I think I was watching a video today. I think Hamamoto was like the master's bodyguard, almost like head bodyguard.
Okay.
Almost. So I think that's what that meant. But yeah, that was crazy. Another, I know we're just kind of like going over. All
yeah. Whatever you want.
So forgive me. Another crazy scene, right? Cause like, I wrote down like Mariko's words were her words were her weapon. Really.
Yes.
Like she was all right with that knife thing, but she was really powerful with her words. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's funny in Ghost of Tsushima, there's a part of the game basically where you can go to if you find a pond, there's like a button that you can hit where you can make a haiku. And you get like, I don't know, you get like stronger or whatever if you make like a haiku. So words and like poems are very important in that culture.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that poetry slam she was in, she kills it.
The poetry slam, yeah, right? And then at one point, Toranaga says like, if I could use words, what a bonfire my poems would make. And then he says like, what does he say? He was like, what a bonfire she made. Right. And so I was thinking about that, right? Like how she was using her words. Remember that scene where Buntaro makes her tea in the fucking thing?
Yeah.
Right. So now I'm starting to like, okay, are they going to make up? Are they going to like, what is going to happen? Are they going to kill each other? And he says that too. Like, let's kill each other. Let's Romeo and Juliet and die.
Yeah.
And she says to him, like, I, you know, paraphrasing, but basically, like, I would never fucking die with you, like, ever.
Yeah.
And you can just see it crushes him, bro. It absolutely crushes him. And yep. I was like, yo, this girl is a beast, dude.
That scene, I'm glad you brought that one up, because I wasn't sure what was going on either. And because basically he was like, hey, do you want me to make you tea? But they had a different word for it. So I'm like, is he poisoning her? Like, what the fuck?
I thought for a
minute
he was going to poison her too. Yeah. I thought so too.
Yeah. And then she just flipped it on him. Like, no. Like,
That was him. That was him trying to get any sense of dignity back. Like, I think he knows she loves John. He knows it. And he's just like fucking begging to, like, just show me that you love me. Show me, like, let's die together. Yeah. Like, let me. And she just was like, nah, not happening.
Yeah, I think Pat in the chat is right. I think Toranaga at the end, he's basically
that
repeating.
Was her poem.
Yeah, it was her poem like kind of like repeating back because
oh, so good.
She was so good. But yeah, the stuff with her and her husband, but then the stuff with her and John, and like you kind of want those two to get together. You're like these two.
I definitely did.
You know,
I definitely did. And I'm not gonna lie, I shed maybe like a half a little tear.
Yep.
When they hook up the night before,
oh,
they finally
great.
Like share that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then the night after, she gets blown to a million pieces.
I mean, and then he's holding her like final episode. He's holding her dead body. You're like, oh my god. And listen, not that it matters. It's more important what you look like on the inside than the outside. But as far as the outside is concerned, Mariko is as attractive as it gets in the world.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. She is a bad bitch.
Yes, she certainly was. Favorite character, if it's not Mariko for me, how do you say his name?
Yabushigi
was hilarious. And he's like the classic guy where, like, you know he's going to be a traitor. And yeah. Toranaga knows he's going to be a traitor. And, like, even just, like, feeds him stuff. He's like, the guy's obviously going to trade. But I love at the end when he's, like, fighting and, he knows he has to die. Because, like, they're onto him. They're like, dude, like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. And he's like, he's basically requesting a cool death. And he was like,
Can
I just be, like, eaten by a bunch of fish? And it was like, by angry fish. And
he's like, let me get eaten by the dogs. Don't bury me. Like,
yeah, that's what he said. Then in his poem at the end, he was like, it was like super short. And he was like, don't bury me. Just leave me out and let the dogs eat me. And he's like, that was pretty good, right? And they're like, sure, dude. Like,
yeah, that was such a good, and that kind of gets into the ending, which I love how they did that when he's talking to Yabushiga.
Yeah.
But yeah, funny too, right? I think the moment John starts questioning his old English culture and starts to be more inquisitive/appreciative of this Japanese culture is when that other dude, I forget his name, but that cool Portuguese dude that helps John in the beginning, he falls off the cliff in like episode 2 or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, and Yabushiga has to go down there and get him, right? Yep. John's like, yo, go get your boy. Yeah, so he's like, oh, I'll go get him. And he ends up falling down there, and the waves start fucking coming, and it looks like he might not be able to save himself.
Yeah.
And he takes out his sword, and he's about to commit seppuku.
Crazy.
And John's looking at it like, yo, like, wow, this is crazy. And I think it was at that moment where John starts to, like, look at the culture a little different and have an appreciation for the way these people live their lives and how disciplined and how, like,
I think it was that. You know what I mean? I think it was that. And then when the guy that died for the bird, and he was just it was just a fucking stinking bird. Like, what do you guys care? Yeah. And they're like,
Well,
you know, you're not supposed to do that, or however it was set up. He's that's just how it is. And then I think that blew his mind. I also loved, so he basically had, who was the woman that was like assigned to him?
Fujisama.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great too.
Another cool character, and like didn't want to be a part of it. But like how fucked up it was for her to be put in that situation because her husband, this was crazy, like at the beginning, her husband basically just like heckled one of the guys and was like, you're bullshit. And then they're like, all right, you're dead and your kid's dead. And you're like,
yeah.
What?
Not how about this? Not even he heckles them, and not even they were like, yo, you gotta die. The culture is so strong.
That's what
and
it is.
So he said it. Yeah. He got up and was like, I will not only kill myself, I will kill my baby too, so that my family line doesn't continue because I have offended you so much.
I was like, jeepers.
I probably wouldn't do that. No,
I'm like, I said I'm sorry. Let's move on.
What the fuck? Put me in the corner.
That was nuts. So then she was kind of put in that spot. And I believe, like, she would have, like, if John, she was basically now assigned to John and, like, literally whatever John's needs were. So, like, if John wanted to hook up with her, like, she would have had to. But, like, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm good.
Remember, that was a great scene when they give him his guns. And then, I think it was Buntaro or someone, they all run to him. And they're like, give me your gun. Nah, you're not having your guns. And he's like, I'm not giving you my guns. And then Fuji's like, I'll take the guns. And I think that's when they kind of, you know, had some sort of understanding.
Yeah, like, and then okay, she, like, pointed them at you. The guys. And, like, because the guys were giving them to me. Right. She's like, that's fuck you. She's like, I got these now. And I was like, oh. And then
another go ahead.
I was just going to say, then an emotional scene, like, at the end when they're sitting there, right? And they have, like, the extra mat where, like, Mariko would be. And he basically, in Japanese, looks at her and he's like, no translator. Or, like, the translator's gone kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, he wants her to stay with him. And she's like, I'm going to become a nun. Like, I'm out. And he's like, all right.
That was, I wrote that down, too. How in the beginning, John doesn't want her. John's like, I don't want you as my consort. I don't want you to pillow with me like I'm good. Right. But by the end, he's, like, begging her to stay. Another cool thing, too, was when they are about to kill her infant, Fuji's infant, right? And she's, like, she's wilding out. Mariko comes and says to the people that are going to do it, let her hands be the last to hold them, right?
Yeah, and then
at the very end, Fuji says to John when he's holding Mariko Sama's cross. She says, let your hands be the last to hold her. So it like, was a bunch of that shit where it like full circle and like foreshadowing. And
I know.
Yeah, it was so good.
So speaking of that too, is they like in the finale, there's like a flash forward and it's old John.
Yeah.
Long beard, laying in bed, sick or tired, whatever. And it appears to be like grandkids looking at all these like Japanese like keepsakes that he had.
Which, how cool is that shit, dude? Which I would pay if I could have like a fucking one of those samurai full body things like in the corner of my man cave.
Oh, hell yeah.
I would 100% do it. Those things look so cool.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but then he also in that scene has the cross, Mariko's cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go back to like, you know, present day or whatever, there's the scene where he loses the cross in the water. Like it falls into the ocean.
He throws it.
Oh, throws it.
That's when she says to him, let your hands be the last to hold her.
Yeah, and you see the shot of it sinking down. And then Torunaga also has a line where he's like talking about John. And he's like, I don't think it's his fate to ever leave Japan.
Yeah. So what did you make of that dream sequence?
I'm like, when I first saw it, I was like, all right, hey, this is to me proving that he makes it out of all of this alive. He makes it back to England. He obviously has like a family, but because he still has all these stuff up, like he'll never, ever, ever forget Mariko. That'll always be like his love or whatever. And like, he has that shit. But then when you go back to it and Torunaga seems to be right about everything. And if he's like, see him leaving here. I don't think he's leaving here. And then if he chucks the cross and the cross is at the bottom of the ocean, I'm wondering if that's just one of John's, like, one of his dreams, right? Because I think the final episode is called Dream. Let me see what it's called.
Oh, is it?
So
that makes a lot of sense.
It's called A Dream of a Dream.
Oh, I was just going to say that because that's what I think it is. It's a dream of a dream. So I think that was like John dreaming of a potential future.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think as he's laying down in that bed and his grandchildren are saying like, oh, you know, Papa, did you really do this?
Yep.
You don't get the feeling he's like, yeah, I did that. You kind of get the feeling or the way it's acted out of like some regret. He's regretful about something, right? Like he's not happy about something.
Yeah.
So I think he was almost dreaming of a future that could be, but I don't think he wanted to go back to England. I think by the end of the story, when it's all said and done, he wants to be in Japan. And I think he stays in Japan. This is based on a true story. He does stay in Japan. He ends up having children in Japan.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I wrote that down too. Like, what about his English family? He just ditched them motherfuckers. Like, bailed. See you later. I'm out.
I got shipwrecked. What do you want from me? I'm a sailor. What do you want? Yeah, the real guy never made it back. But I would also kind of think Torunaga is usually right. And so also with John, does he realize at the very end who sank his ship, right? Because Torunaga's like, hey, it's the Christians that did it. We gotta find who did it. And then he's then like, because he talks to the other like priest guy and he's like, oh, Mariko basically was like,
Made a deal.
Like, keep him alive. Like, take his ship. And then Torunaga admits, like, yeah, like, I did that. And you know what? I'll have to do it a bunch more times. Like, I'm just kind of testing this guy right now.
Yeah.
But the way Blackthorn kind of looks at him at the end.
Yeah.
You're wondering if he's
chuckle.
Kind of putting it together.
Yeah. I think he put it together. But I think, I don't think he had, like, ill will towards Torunaga. I think he realized this dude tests everybody and he wants to see if I'm loyal. And I think when John was literally about to kill himself in order for Torunaga to stop murdering people in that village, all those Christians in that village.
Yeah.
I think he passed Torunaga's test and I think he knew that it was Torunaga who did it. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, no, that was
so good.
The show
it's
good.
So good.
So I guess it's this. So I guess I'll. The reason why it's not a 6 out of 6 for me, or a 5.5 even, And maybe it should be, but I'm going to stick with a five. I think it's a rock hard five.
No, I honestly think I pushed the thing more than you, but yeah, especially when you're like, no, solid five.
Hard like,
yeah,
five.
That's like, that's probably more accurate.
But like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they needed, because they set up this whole battle at the end. They don't show any of it. And like, I'm not mad about that. I did think overall though, in the 10 episodes, because of like the content, I thought there would be a little bit more action and even like a little bit more sword play. Like I thought I was built up to be like, because like most of the sword stuff you got was just guys kind of killing themselves. Like that was more, you got more of that than almost anything else. I thought we would get more sword stuff.
Yeah. I was watching a thing. Apparently in some of those scenes, not a lot where they're literally fighting each other, but a lot of real katanas were being used in that. Mm. And they were saying like that you gotta, it's actually the katana, a real katana. Oh, you would probably know, Mr. Slicing fish with the katana. Yeah. Is that a real katana? I don't even know what makes a katana as opposed to like any other sword.
I don't know
it's
what
fucking, that's cool as shit, dude. It's got, how heavy is that?
I was gonna say, it's got good weight. It's got good weight all like in the handle.
But fucking
it's full tang though.
Where did you get? Yeah, it is full. Where did you get that?
My buddy sent it to me. I was like, I was talking about it for a while, and then the next thing I know, I swear to God, it showed up in the mail one day, and it didn't even say who it was from. And I was like talking about it. I'm like, I don't even know who gave me this, but it's like the greatest gift ever. And then one of my buddies finally was like, yeah, it was me, dude. He's like, I heard you talking about it.
It's not delivery. It's death.
So far, the only thing that I've cut with it is fruit, and then my hand once. But other than that.
No, but you did the fish, right? That was the thing that they do the fish at you on
I did.
Twitter?
I did a fish, and I've done a ton of fruit. Yeah.
Clean swipe? Clean swipe through?
Super clean through.
That's wild, dude. I can't, like, dude, think about, like, I can't help but think about that. Yeah. Like, back in that time, they would line up on one side, line up on another. Uh-huh. They all have swords in those nagaka, whatever those fucking long sticks are with the blade on the end.
Yes.
And just charge each other, bro.
Crazy. Like, just
crazy.
Bloodshed.
Dude.
Yeah.
Nuts. Craziness. Yeah, I could see how people wanted the battle. Of course, I wanted a battle a little bit. Yeah. But I'm totally happy with how they chose to portray that battle, with Taranaga telling Yobashiga or whatever about how it was gonna play out. I loved it. I thought that was a great way to like show the battle without having to do it, because like I said, at the end of the day, I really think this was more of a character study more than it was like a war movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely was. It was, the dialogue was super important. It was the most important thing of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they were able to pull it off with the acting. It was so good. Now, I've read conflicting things now on a season two, because this is also a book. We should have mentioned that early on. This was a book, a super long book, and they apparently condensed it down for this show. And
they made it a show too after on NBC in like the 80s.
Yeah. And I guess it wasn't great by all accounts. Yeah. But I mean, you know, that happens. But initially they were like, hey, we did it. We're happy with it, whatever. But I think because it's doing so well and like people love it, and it's reviewed so highly, that now I guess season two is not, it's not officially happening, but it's also not officially not happening, is what it sounds like. So
I wish they would leave it alone. I really do. Me too. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could tell there's more of the story to tell, because I think historically, what ends up happening is, you know how Ochiba ends up aligning with Taranaga, I don't know. But she ends up aligning with him, and that's how they are able to defeat Ishido in the final battle.
Yeah.
I think, I'm pretty sure historically, Taranaga, because that's the other big thing, right? That's the other big thing. It's called Shogun, right? Throughout the whole thing, Taranaga says, I don't want to be Shogun. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be Shogun. I don't want to be Shogun. He has that epic line where he says, I forget who he's talking to, and he says, a man has three hearts, right? He says, one in your mouth for the world to see, one in your chest for your close friends, and then one that only you know. I think he wanted to be Shogun the whole time.
Yes.
He absolutely wanted to be Shogun. He does end up becoming Shogun, but he has to... He turns on that girl and the young Eris would be woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he turns on them in the end because they're like a threat to his power. And so I think he ends up having them killed historically.
Wow.
Makes sense. So yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know. I guess there's some more story to tell, but I just hate when they take a good thing and because it does so well commercially,
I know
they rush out another thing, and I just seen it fail more times than I've seen it succeed.
I agree. I would leave it. Anything else on Shogun? I got a couple of quick pick of the pods for you. But anything else Shogun wise?
No, and just to say that, yeah, like I love when movies, shows, anything does this to me where I end up going down a rabbit hole because I want more, right? So like when I found out that the city that Taranago is building, Edo, that's Tokyo. That becomes Tokyo. And so like I just thought that was so cool. And so that led me down a rabbit hole of like the history of Tokyo. How did Tokyo get started?
Yeah.
Like, what, you know what I mean? Which, so I love when content does that to me where I'm like, oh man, like I want more of it. I want to know more.
So, yeah. Oh, definitely. No, I believe the book was actually written by, so John in the chat, it's actually James
Carville or something.
Clavell.
Clavell. Yeah.
Clavell. It was a 1975 book. And then 1980, they did a miniseries on it.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine how much better it's going to look today than.
Yeah, of course. But I think a lot of the same thing, like Mariko gets blown up by the door the same kind of way. So I think a lot of it was the same.
It was 5 episodes.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It looks like NBC had 5 episodes. 5 nights from September 15th to September 19th, 1980. They just ripped it five nights in a row.
Think about that. 40 years ago, people were going to work. What did you think of Taranago? What did you think? Oh, my God. Mariko, she got blown up at the door. We're having the same conversation 40 years later.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fantastic. That's great.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, let me ask you this. Have you watched Baby Reindeer on Netflix?
No, negative.
It's wild.
What is it?
Apparently, it's based on a true story, which that blew my mind. Because I was watching this, and I'm like, oh, this is a crazy story. I think it might be a true story.
Well, after that documentary that we put Andy Hart on, you could tell me anything's a true story, and I'll be like, yeah, it probably did happen.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. It's basically, the premise is like a guy is dealing with a stalker. But then it goes so much more than that. Like, you kind of dig into his past, and like he had a lot going on in his past. But it's like a bartender who's trying to be a comedian, and he has this stalker who, like, initially he's kind of like fascinated by, and then it just becomes like, you know, nonstop. But I had no interest in it at first, but then like every time I'd log on to Netflix, it was the number one show. Mm-hmm. And it's 7 episodes, and they're like 30 minutes each.
Oh, yeah, and, very digestible.
Yeah, Tyler, I'm with you, man. Episode 4 of Baby Reindeer
quite a ride, huh?
It's
okay.
It's intense, dude. It is.
I like that. When someone says like it's a ride, like quite a ride. Yeah. Oh, I like that. I want to go for a ride.
I don't know what words to do it justice. It's intense. It's not something you'd want to watch with almost anybody else. I feel like you just want to watch it by yourself and be like, okay, take it in and be like, wow, that happened.
And drama, then, thriller, horror.
Drama for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's some comedy to it, but it's a drama. It's Wikipedia refers to it as a British black comedy drama thriller.
Oh, it's British.
Okay. Yeah, it's British.
Okay.
It's wild. Yeah.
I'll check it out. I'm for sure going to watch the trailer as soon as I get off with it.
Yeah, check out the trailer and then kind of go from there, but that just came out. You got anything else that you're watching, movie or TV related?
No, a lot of obviously Boston playoff stuff going on.
Yeah, that's so true. It's tough to watch stuff with it. Yeah, there's a million things
going on. Shogun just finished, so I slammed through Fallout.
Yeah.
No, and then with the death of O.J. Simpson, like I was telling you,
oh yeah,
at work, I've just been going down that rabbit hole.
Oh, that shit, which, yeah.
I can tell you, actually, after watching a bunch of hours on this OJ stuff, yeah, he did that shit. Yeah.
Got it. Yep. Good. You heard it here first. Yep. Hashtag Dork exclusive.
Yep. He murdered those people. Yep.
Now, a hashtag Dork news flash.
OJ Simpson, murderer.
Yes.
All right. Great stuff, dude. That'll do it for us. Where can people find you on Instagram, Twitter, wherever else?
At StizGrammy on everything.
Awesome. Yeah. Very simple. And of course, the executive producer of the Rich Keefe Show and Red Sox Baseball on WEEI.
Full show tomorrow night, I believe.
Full tanger tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
I like
cool.
that. Full. Yeah. Back to normal. Good night to have it with everything going on this weekend. So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening to this. Let us know what you thought of Shogun. I'm going 5. Stiz is going 5.5. We're going to have our second episode live Tuesday night. If you're watching this live or listening to the show on Monday, Tuesday night, Davey and I are going to record our second episode for the week, 9 o'clock on YouTube. And it might be Late Night with the Devil. It might be something else. But either way.
Oh, yeah, real quick. I loved Late Night with the Devil. Good. You loved Late Night with the Devil.
I loved it. Okay. We might do a whole episode. Yeah. If Davey sees it in time, we'll do an episode on that. If not, it'll be something else. But thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.